Chapter 6, Accept God's Word as Your Primary Weapon 2022. Oh, man, come on. You know, like, can you imagine when I was out there without Him, without God? I mean, I knew there was a God. I grew up Catholic. I knew there was a God. I knew there was a God. I just didn't know I could partner with Him. I didn't know anything. I was out there chasing down the dream, right? Chasing down the dream. Dreams are okay to have a dream, to have goals, right? As long as you got God in them. Well, I didn't have God in them. I didn't even know how to do it. So these things that I come up with, chapter 6, accept God's word as your primary weapon, are things I used. I had to learn how to do something. I had to make it imaginative for me so that I would find my way to Scripture, and by golly, I did. These little things brought me to Scripture, but God knew my mind. He knew my mind was wild and crazy, and He would put these ideas in my mind, and then I'd try to find them in Scripture. Because I wanted to know if God knew. And by golly, I found out that God knew. I found out. These things that came up in my head, I started to think about, well, if it works, is it Scripture? And, well, yes, it was. The things that came up in my head. And so chapter 6 came up in my head. Accept God's word as your primary weapon, 2022, James 1, 2, 4. Trials and temptations, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So it's a good idea. You're getting tempted. You're going to get tested. You're going to get tested. Accept God's word as your primary weapon. Weapon against what? I'll tell you what. Against all things that would and will destroy me, including you and me, including your own thoughts, interrupting the goodness of my children even, and all whom I love. My mind can get me in so much trouble, and my kids. Weapon against all things that will destroy me. Think about it. All things that will destroy me, my family, my life. You notice I said weapon, not weapons, with an S. There is only one God, His word, and one weapon, Him. Him, one weapon. His name is Jesus Christ. I need Him. You need Him. Or the lure of the money you make, the power given to you in your business will overtake all good judgment. Romans 7:18. For I know that the good itself does not dwell in me. Get that. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Hey, hello, huh? Hello, you need some help. Accept God's word as your primary weapon against the enemy, against evil, against your thoughts, against the crazy stuff that's in this world. The power of prayer is intense. The word of God is intense. Often it's in a tight spot we pray, and He gives us His word. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. On the rock. The rock, it says here. The rock. A wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus is the rock. Think about your business. Could you actually converse with God about it? Yes. I did, I do, and He listens. What if you don't? Well, what happened when I didn't? I pursued money, property, and prestige. That's what. And nobody could tell me any different because I was special in my own mind. Well, I was special. God gave me a lot of things. But He didn't mean for me to use them without Him. It never worked out the way I thought it should. Little did I know, God was interrupting my money, property, and prestige hunting to protect me. What would have happened had I succeeded without God? Where would I be now? Or would I even be given that kind of power and authority without God? Let's just leave it at where I was not given that authority. Think of what would happen if I had been. Matthew 4:8-10, you heard it this morning. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Why didn't the devil give me what I wanted? I didn't know I was asking for what the devil had. I didn't know I was asking for money, property, and prestige, and it was owned by the devil, and he had the power to give it to me. I didn't know that. Verse 10, Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Oh my. If I would have gotten what I wanted, what would I have gotten? What would I have gotten? God protected me. He knew I didn't know what I was asking and that what I was asking would hurt me. Sometimes I think I'm not connecting with him, you know? And then a thought crosses my mind. Sometimes I think I'm not connecting with him with a capital H, God. And a thought crosses my mind, right? Perhaps he and I, have already discussed the issues, and it's time to stop talking and get to work, right? It's time to stop talking and get to work. You know, I know you can talk to God. I know you can negotiate with God. I know you can pray to God. I know the word of God is two things. The word he actually says, he said it to people. He's talked to people. He's actually verbally spoken to people. His word, capital W, is him. He keeps his word. The word in the book, he does not lie. And his word when he speaks. In the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, Abraham, Father Abraham, prayed for Lot to be saved from Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, actually, he didn't. I just think he did. He didn't actually mention Lot. I'll tell you why. Sodom and Gomorrah were lost in sin and debauchery, and God had decided to destroy them. Woo! Does that bring things to light about right now in the world? Lot was in that city. Let me say it again. Sodom and Gomorrah were lost in sin and debauchery, and God had decided to destroy the cities. Lot was in that city, his nephew. Lot is Abraham's nephew, and basically the guy was kind of worthless, in my opinion. However, Abraham loved him. Never mentioning Lot, Abraham just had a discussion with the Lord regarding the saving of the city. Why did Abraham want to save the city? Well, I'm not sure he wanted to save the city. However, it sure sounds like it in Scripture. Why would Abraham want to save a sinful, grubby city? Lot and Lot's family were in that city. That's what I think. Abraham negotiated with the Lord. He spoke to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him, spoke his word. He actually spoke to him. Genesis 18:24. This is what Abraham says to God. "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord had to roll his eyes. Well, maybe not. He's just happy that the guy's talking to him and they're having a relevant conversation because the Lord said. He spoke to him. And he said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Well, Abraham negotiated with him. He started at 50, went all the way down to 10. 10 people. And finally, in verse 32, God gave his word. Word. He spoke to him and gave his word. Just like I could say, my word of honor. I, Pat, give my word of honor that I will do this, that, or the other thing. I give my word of honor. Well, God gave his word of honor here. For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. It dawned on me one day that that is a prayer. A discussion with God can be a prayer, and in the prayer, God can speak and give his word, not the written word, maybe his actual speaking, talking word. He spoke to Abraham and gave his word, and thankfully, it's written down so I can read it. Were Lot and his family saved? Surely God knew Abraham was negotiating for Lot. Even though Lot was a goofball and never amounted to anything, Abraham prayed, well, discussed and negotiated with God, and God agreed. This blows my mind. Blows my mind, man. In a prayer, God spoke and gave his word, and in this book, God speaks and gives his word. And by the way, even Lot couldn't say no. Even Lot couldn't say no. Lot, being an idiot, wasn't sure he wanted to leave Sodom. He kind of liked it. Can you get that? Even though the Lord sent angels to save his family, Lot wasn't sure. Get that. Angels, he was facing angels. And in the face of a band of angels, the guy wasn't sure. Well, God gave his word to Abraham. So too bad. Lot, lucky for you, you got to leave. God's promise was made. He had given his word and it happened. He hesitated. Get this, he hesitated. Lot hesitated. He hesitated. He didn't want to go. Genesis 19, 16. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. The men they're talking about here, angels. Angels got him out of there. It occurred to me that in Abraham's discussion with God, his point was saving the city for righteous people. Would God save Sodom if there were righteous people in it? Well, Lot wasn't even that great of a guy. And as long as he was in that city, it was safe. Can you dig what is going on here? However, God was going to do what God was going to do, and Sodom was done. So Lot had to be taken out. Was Lot righteous? Well, are you righteous? Am I righteous? I guess you and I and Lot were righteous enough to save, but not to save Sodom. Genesis 19:24, then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah. From the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the city and also the vegetation in the land. Holy Toledo. Do you know what came into my head when I read that? America. God's word said that before the end, his spirit will be taken out. Before the end time, like before Jesus comes back for the rapture, he said his spirit will be taken out. The spirit will be taken, the church will be taken back. Will America be saved as long as there is a righteous person alive in it? Wow, too huge of a question for a little guy like me, right? Too huge of a question. However, concerning end times, just like Lot, will we be taken out into the arms of safety? Well, the word is my primary weapon against fear. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. But I want you to get that in your head. You know, as long as we keep doing the word of God and bringing hope to the world, right now, America at its worst is still the hope of the world. Christianity is allowed to be here. We still have freedoms more than a lot of places in this world, most places in this world. But let's read 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll always be faith with the Lord. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. See what I'm saying here? What I'm saying here is, gosh, it sounds like he's going to take us as long as you're here. America is safe. I don't know. I don't know. I just came to my mind. Why did it come to my mind? I had another thought. God's been in the saving business for a long time. Jesus saved us all prior to that. God the Father saved Israel from a discussion with Moses. He saved Noah and his family because Noah was the only righteous man alive. Wow, that blows my mind. What about that? The world must have been super nuts to have only one guy that was righteous. Well, it kind of reminds me of now. Well, he saved Noah. He saved Israel. He negotiated and saved Lot. Well, some other things come to my mind. Second chances. Woo, second chances. Is that everybody on this phone? Second chances. What do they call it? Born again. Well, I'm kind of thinking about those two things and putting them together. Maybe you're born again, you got a second chance. I'm just saying, this is what came to my mind in accepting God's word as my primary weapon 2022. If the book isn't in front of me, the word in it, not in front of my face, right? If the book isn't in front of me, the word in it is not in front of my face. And without the book, I'll be totally alone with fear and myself. Not good for me, not good for anybody. Non-believers right now, in this world right now, are a cross between brain dead, it'll all work out in the end, no it won't, that kind of thinking, no it won't, and what the hell is going on? the latter being correct according to Scripture. So they're full of fear or they're brain dead. Full of fear. Something bad's going to happen. Well, that's pretty biblical. Something bad. We're on our way. It ain't going to get any better. If you're a believer, however, you have the Scripture to comfort you against the fear inside of you. Fear is replaced by the Holy Spirit if you can sit still and hear Him, capital H. Guess what? Spoiler alert. Lot never amounted to anything. What does that tell me? It tells me don't waste your second chance. Get it? Don't waste your second chance. Stay the course. When given the opportunity to live again and serve the Lord, do it with all your heart. And with His help, you can do better than your best. With His help, you can do better than your best. My best never got me anywhere. Better than my best? Now we're talking, right? Galatians 5:13-14, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Oh, you want me to say that again? You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, man, this is heavy stuff. Well, in a position of authority, you got to have discernment. But we'll talk about that. Are we in the end times? It's a question on all of our minds. I turn to the Word and keep on working. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore encourage one another with these words. The words of what? The words in the book. Encourage each other. Just keep on working and encourage each other. Word, the Word, it keeps on ringing, and I just got to keep on working and living, knowing that He has given me the rules and given me His Word, that He'll come back for me. He gave me His Word, and He never lied. We just came through a bunch of examples. He doesn't lie. I must tell you, my children, and comfort my friends. I must tell my children about this. I got to tell them. And I try to tell my kids, but they're too smart for me right now, right? I got to tell them and comfort my friends and take care of the things given to me in this life to prepare me for His coming. I got to stay on course, stay busy, stay working in the fields of the Lord, stay working. Otherwise, what's my choice? Sit still and worry? Argue the point that God in the Bible may not be real, leaving me to do what? Make up a God? Or use somebody else's made-up God? Or work for the devil? I just gave you a scripture that said money, property, and prestige is in the power of the devil. He has the power to give that to you. He just said that. Well, he's a liar. Yeah, we know all that. What I can tell you is it doesn't look good. What am I going to do? Anything other than working for God in the Bible, Lord of all access, only through Jesus Christ. Get it? If you're doing anything, what are you going to do? You don't like the way God did the Old Testament, the New Testament, you know, I'm the God, He's the God of hellfire. He's not the God of hellfire. He is God of God. Get it? God. What are your choices? None. We got no choice. Him or nothing else. And we get all access to Him through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:1-13. And working together with Him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. Say it again. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distress, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the words of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. Now I'm going to explain it to you. By glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarding as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold, we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. What does that mean? It means in everything have God. In all your challenges and all your good things, always have God. But that last line, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Whether you got a lot or you got a little, whether you're in trouble or not in trouble, all things, put God in everything. Finally, I got it. No matter what, just live the way it is described in this book and quit worrying about the world. The word says the world will end and God will not end. He is always here. The good and bad will be judged. Revelation. What does that mean to me? It means clearly that God has his plan. He has his plan. And I need to do my part of his plan. That's all. Whatever's on my list today, I can't worry about all of it in the world. I just got to try my darndest to live correctly with the Lord in his word, read and feel comforted in the list I've got today. Titus 2:7, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity. Wow, okay, that's just today. I can do that today. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let your light, that's me. What, do I got light? The Holy Spirit's in me. The Lord says so. The Word says so. The Holy Spirit's in me. If they can see the Holy Spirit in me, they got hope. God is using me. Remember a lot? As long as God is using me, as long as God needs me, I'm alive. It seems like that to me. Sodom and Gomorrah, not so good. They took Lot out, boom, no Sodom and Gomorrah. Hey, when he comes and takes his church back, there's no hope for America. All hell breaks loose. There's no hope for anything. But to me, is America okay as long as his church is here? I'm just saying, these things come to my mind, right? Luke 12:47. And that slave who knew his master's will and didn't prepare himself or do it will be severely beaten. But the one who did not know and did things deserving of blows will be beaten lightly. Much will be required of everyone who has been given much, and even more will be expected of the one who has been entrusted with more. Hey, did you get that? Did you get that? Did you catch that word there? Required, get it? Required of those who are given much. Not suggested or requested, but required. That's you and me. It says here, if you don't do what you're supposed to do and you know better, it didn't sound too good there. The word was severely beaten. I didn't like that one. Well, people get mad at that. Well, that's your God. That is the only God. Well, your God is your God's mean. So I don't like your God. It's not my God. It is God. What are you talking about? What is there? Options for God? We're going God shopping? There's no such thing as that. You got to make a choice here. Live right or don't. Live with him or not. What John said about the black forest. You walk into the black forest, you say there is no God, and you don't believe in God, who are you going to work for? If you fall into the black forest, you're done. What is the black forest like? You know those people that are walking on the side of the road, they're shuffling along? They're done. They're gone. They drank one too much alcohol, one too many drugs. They're gone. They did their life without God, and they're gone. King Nebuchadnezzar, in that story, he was gone. Gone. He lost those 7 years of his life. When you lose to drugs, alcohol, when you decide there is no God and you're going to live fancy and free, I'm going to party and smell the roses, forget my responsibilities and all the gifts that God gave me. I don't like your God. When you say those things, you're opening the door to the black forest. No bueno. Isn't it a lot more fun to be challenged by the life that you have right now, the business that you have right now, the challenges that you have right now, instead of not having them at all? The memory of being special, but you're not special anymore. You're done. You're gone. At least in a free fall, you're still in the game. Even if you hit the cement, you lose everything. God and you can build again. None of you hit the cement. God interrupted your free fall. And all of you on the phone said there is a God, the one true God, capital G. Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Fear is real, kids. Never will I forsake you. Fear is real. This is the only thing that can interrupt that. Jesus can enter. Never will I forsake you. Fear is real. End times is real. God is real. You are real. I am real. Do what you do today and do it in the grace of the Lord better than your best. The chores of today, leave the world into God's hands. Do what he has given you. Do what he has given you and remind yourself of him in the Word. In the Word, you can only remind yourself what he's doing if you read the Word. Fight the enemy and the schemes of the enemy. And remember, God is fortifying you to do what you do. He's fortifying you to do what you do. Without his word, you and me, we are sitting ducks for the enemy. And that's the black forest, man, the allure of the black. I will give you all this. Do you remember that scripture? The devil said, I will give you all this. That's the doorway to the black forest. Once you enter that, bow down and honor me. That's what happened. When you say there is no God, who do you think you're working for? We're sitting ducks without the word. Without God, we're sitting ducks. We could believe anything, anything not good. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You can and will finish stronger, staying close to the word and discussing all matters with him. Abraham talked to him. Moses, David, Elijah, one-on-one with God all the time. Daniel had lunch with him every day, I think, right? Dan seemed to have one of those old Nextel phones, like immediate access. You just push the button and you're talking to the guy, right? Remember those? They were great, right? They finally got rid of those. That was too much access. Jesus Christ prayed and discussed with the Father. In all situations, the word prepares you to be you, the way he meant you to be. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. You may be able to resist in the evil day and having prepared everything to take your stand. Come on. Rick told me one time he was in Bible study class and the pastor said, raise your hand, anybody who put on your armor of God this morning. First thing you did when you got up this morning is put on your armor of God. And Rick said, I raised my hand. And the pastor looked at him and said, why'd you take it off in the first place? Oh, that's awesome, isn't it? Do you have a chance to succeed? Yeah. Yeah. Can you lead, teach, and inspire others? A flawed individual like me and you, leading other flawed individuals? Lot didn't make the second chance. Many others failed as well. They didn't have a word, capital W, with God, capital G. They were busy with other things, right? Other things. Don't get too busy for a good time with God. Especially with the blessings he gave you. He, capital H, gave you. He gave you. What are you, too busy to talk to him with the blessings he gave you? Yeah, right. We get too busy with the blessings he gave. The word, capital W, your own personal ammunition against the insanity of the world and the devil himself. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. It's like, hey, you know, a little baby always has milk, 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 milk. At some point, he's got to get a steak in there, right? He's got to get a steak in there. You know, one time I told a vegetarian friend of mine, I go, look, you're so worried about vegetarian being mean to animals and everything like that. I just want to tell you, everything before Noah, they were all vegetarians. There was no meat introduced into it. After that, there wasn't anything. After the flood, there was nothing. The vegetation was all washed away, everything gone. So God instructed him to eat meat, to do a burnt offerings and eat meat and so on and so forth. So before Noah, before the ark, it was all vegetarian. And she was so happy. She's like, oh, wow, that's so great. I'm like, I also want to point out that he killed all those people. Okay, so that was just my sideline there. Grow in your fiduciary duty. Grow in your fiduciary duty. Study. Don't take as long as I did to understand truth and discernment. Truth and discernment, really big words. Hebrews 10:26, for if we deliberately sin after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. If you keep blowing off what Jesus did for you, not so good. For me, that scripture is scared straight. Just cut it out. Just cut it out. Is it possible that God might not give you another chance? He did give you and me another chance. He did. He did. The blood of Christ, he did give you a second chance. And in your life, it's like he gave you another third, fourth, and fifth chance because all of us were failing miserably, catastrophically before God. You don't think you were. You think you were all got it together and I'm here because Nebuchadnezzar, because I did it. You didn't do anything. Let's stay with plan A, God, and be comforted that there is no plan B for me. There's no plan B for you either if you choose God. Sure, we're going to blow it. Come on, we're going to blow it. We're going to blow it. And we take it to him, capital H, take it to him. In his mercy, we try again. Lee Strobel was an atheist when he began investigating Christ. He became a Christian at the age of 29, a former investigative reporter. In his book, he writes, and I quote, "To be honest, I didn't want to believe that Christianity could radically transform someone's character and values. It was much easier to raise doubts and manufacture outrageous objections than to consider the possibility that God actually could trigger a revolutionary turnaround in such a depraved and degenerate life." Wow, you go, boy. God can change everything, including you. I, Charles Dickens, British writer, 1812 to 1870, I commit my soul to the mercy of God. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I now must solemnly impress upon you the truth and beauty of the Christian religion as it came from Christ himself and the impossibility of going far wrong if you humbly but heartily respect it. That was Charles Dickens, man. If you don't know who he is, you better find out. It's like about time you know who Charles Dickens. Calvin Coolidge, 30th President of the United States. The foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country. Hello? Calvin's sure a lot different than today, isn't it? It would be difficult to support. The foundation of our society and our government rests so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country. Well, he's right, and we're looking at it right now. Here's another quote for you. This one ought to come. This one ought to be memorable, right?
Memorable.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. That was a quote by Jesus Christ, author and finisher, John 14:12. What's that mean? It means you. You're the he in there, small h. He who believes in me, he will do also. Greater works than he will do. Get that. You will do greater works. You are an extension of God. You will do greater works because of God. Why? Because Jesus says, I go to the Father. He takes it to the Father. You become an extension of God. You work for God. Does that bring it home, baby? Why do we do these 50 chapters? Because we work for God. God is our partner. He's not the co-pilot, he's the pilot. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. Greater than what Jesus has already done. My goodness sakes, by the power of God, you will do even more. Because I go to the Father, Jesus Christ, author and finisher. That is a quote by Jesus Christ himself, John 14:12. Chapter 6. God's word is your primary weapon against stupid. 2022. Chapter 6, God's word is your primary weapon against stupid. 2022. Amen, kids. Amen, amen, amen. And I tell you all, when you listen to these things, as you hear people getting off, this isn't church, and you hear people popping off and popping on and popping off, the phones can be a drag. But if you think you're done listening, it's not fun for me here. You pop off and see on this list here when you pop off because you get too busy. Don't get too busy. Some things are not worth getting too busy. Don't get too busy doing the blessings that God gave you when you're having someone focused on teaching you the good things that got you here. Well, they certainly helped. Jesus got you here. This turned your face so that you were what? You were aware of it. This brought it to your attention that maybe your best ideas were not as groovy as God's. Chapter 6, God's Word is your primary weapon against stupid 2022. John, let's pray into our day.